Jackie Brown. Welcome to the 99 for the One Spotlight. I am so glad that you decided to listen. This is a time where we gather some special calls and special pieces from our New Life Live broadcast that you may have missed along the way. And we just wanted to highlight that, or should I say, spotlight that for you, our 99 for the One partners. We are so grateful for your partnership as we are reaching out to so many people. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the world seems a little bit crazy right now, but we continue to help people find their way through the crazy, whether it's a relationship or maybe it's a mental health struggle, and you're part of what New Life is able to do. I was just saying earlier today with the team that there are so many ministries out there that are telling you what to do. You know, they teach and preach, and we love all of that. We are the ones that are the hands and feet. We have groups, we have the courses, we have the counselors, the coaches, workshops, and we're inviting people to take a step into their new life. And we are able to do that because you support us. Thank you for leaning into what God is doing through New Life. Thank you. Thank you. You know, as we go into this season, fall is right around the corner, even though it's August and it feels hotter than it can ever be in some parts of the world. I am thinking about just the shift. It sometimes feels like this is the new part of the year. We kind of come off of vacation, go right back into the schedules of the fall. Some of you have students that are going back to school. Some of you are the teacher. But whatever that is that the fall means for you, I want you to think about, what are you paying attention to in your life? Are there things that you have just kind of put on the back burner thinking, someday I will get around to it? And I think there are sometimes we get real complacent in our life. We don't pay attention to our health until there's a health scare. We don't pay attention to our relationships until there's a relationship scare. And so I want to encourage you about something that Jill talked about on a show that we just did recently. The caller was calling because she lacked the motivation to get going. And Jill said, a lot of times we're waiting for the feelings of motivation to take action. We wait till we feel like it before we do anything. And, you know, sometimes those feelings never come. Or maybe that's just me. I doubt it. I hear too many people talking about the challenges of wanting to do something and trying to find the motivation to do it. Well, let's let this time of the year be the cue to begin working on something that you've been putting on the back burner. And it might be that you need to finish that book that you started in January. It might be that you call the counselor that you got the phone number for, but just never got around to it. I just want to encourage you. Don't wait till the feelings come to take the action that you know is needed. Right now, we're going to hear some testimonies as well as some of our co-hosts who are brilliant people who are going to share their wisdom.
So today, here's what I'm confessing. I could be like one of those people that gets on social media or out in the community or out in the world where I kind of like other people seem to be happier, more successful, mm-hmm. better parents, better spouses, all those sort of things, you know, the good life. And there's some days where I get down and I'm like, man, that doesn't seem to be me. And it seems far away. Well, that leads to a lot of discontentment and stress mm-hmm. and possibly depression, a lot of bad things. And I love God's word because it has wisdom for pretty much everything. So yesterday I was reading through Psalm 37 and I was hit up the head with a couple of really, really important things. One was this simple line that says, do good, trust God. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as simple as that. Do good, trust God.
This is one of my favorite Psalms, by the way.
Oh, good, good, right? Yeah. So help me out here. So it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. later on in scripture, we see that Paul had to, he says this in Philippians. He says, I learned the secret of contentment, whether I have much or whether I have little. And then he says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And so it's that settling ourselves in contentment of the Lord is really, really important. But there is the ugly side of getting trapped in discontentment, getting trapped in resentment, in comparison. And going back to Psalm 37, it says this in verse 8. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret, it only leads to evil. I'm like, oh my goodness, right there. Fretting turns oftentimes maybe to greed, envy, jealousy, mm-hmm. yep. all these other things that stir up inside of us. You know, when you look in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it talked about resentment being the chief offender, meaning that resentment is going to get you to drink quicker than anything mm-hmm. else. It's going to get us to medicate and do all these unhealthy things in our lives and possibly even feed addictive behaviors. So the confession today is my discontentment actually is beyond just discontentment. My fretting and my envy is beyond that. It actually makes me vulnerable to much more dangerous and destructive things in my life. And like Paul, I'm going to be on the journey to learning the secret of contentment and finding yeah. contentment in the Lord.
It's a learning process.
Yes. Yeah. It's a muscle.
It shows yeah. you what you want, right? And
yes.
that psalm is great if you highlight all the action steps in there.
Oh, that's very good.
It tells you what to do
yeah.
instead.
That's so good, Jill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So read Psalm 37 today.
Yep. That's your homework. Last week, I was speaking at a conference in Mount Hermon. It's a beautiful spot up in Northern California. And I was talking to the people about the fires in L.A. a year ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, all of you followed this wherever you were and probably in the world. But the interesting thing about the fires, my brother lost his home. He played for the Chicago White Sox. He has a home in Malibu because those kind of guys can afford homes in Malibu. It's kind of a rich place. And he lost his entire home. That's another story. Mm. But the interesting thing is, as shrubbery and trees and whatnot started kind of coming back, you know what the trees that came back were? The ones that had deep roots. Mm. And it's so interesting. I saw this. I was there watching this over the, you know, a few months. And again, my brother's house is devastated, but it was the deep roots. I want to challenge you today, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on. I don't care if you're struggling with whatever issue that we get here, and we get them all. I want to challenge you to dig your roots deep. And I've got an incredible quote by Kay Warren. Kay Warren is the wife of Rick Warren, who's one of the more famous pastors from our life. And Kay's a friend, and she said this, and I want you to hear this. This relates to every one of you. Someone recently asked me how I survived my son's suicide. As maybe some of you know, that was a very public suicide. Uh-huh. And Matthew was a wonderful young man, and he had a lot of trouble, and he committed suicide. So you can only imagine the heartbroken mother and the heartbroken father, heartbroken people who all knew him. She said to this person, I set my spiritual roots deep into the character of God for more than 50 years. Circumstances tried to brutally rip out the tree of my faith, but the roots held deep. I want you to just ponder that for a minute with whatever you're going on. One of the things we have to do, we sometimes want to Band-Aid our problems. But really, what we also need to do is dig our roots deep. And Jesus spoke to this in the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he said, we either build our house on the rock or we build our house on sand. And rain and wind and storms are going to come to everybody's life. And I'm sure that some of you who are listening today or who are watching on YouTube, you've got some tough things. And it may be an estranged child. It may be an estranged husband. It may be a porn addiction. It may be so many of the issues that people call. But what I want to say to you is that really one of the ways to get through this, I'm not saying all your problems are going to go away, but to get through is dig deep roots. And part of that means that we are committed to being devoted to God. And in doing that, we're in alignment with what his purpose is for our life. Never easy, but don't neglect digging those deep roots as you prepare for whatever is going to come your way. Good, bad, indifferent.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jill? I love that. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of that metaphor and how so often, I mean, it takes the hard work.
Yes.
And we want the quick solutions.
I know.
We want out of our pain right now.
Yeah. And it does take work. I was talking about this in my small group today. We're talking about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And discipline takes work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the gym these days. And you know what? The resistance actually makes me stronger. So sometimes when tough things come and there's some resistance, you can get stronger by leaning into it, digging those roots deep.
In case you're wondering, yes, I do have something in my mind.
No
One
way.
Of the things that I think about is, what do people believe to be true? So for the most part, we have an audience that are followers of Christ, and many people will read the Bible. But I always think about, in this day and age of so many voices coming from social media, the news cycle, just so many pieces of information that we didn't even look for that are in our minds. Who are we believing? And I was thinking about a couple of passages of scripture. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, we, you know, if we're believers, we're like, yeah, that's great. But when you are struggling with something, how quick is it to come to your mind that God has this? He tells us, to be, and I know he's talking to Joshua, but here's the thing. It's a message to us to be strong and courageous. But then I think about 1 John 4:4. What we, a lot of us who grew up in Sunday school doing sword drills, we know it as, greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. But, you know, the message NIV says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So think about, you know, I love the comment section of anything. I don't care if it's social media or an article that I want to know what people are thinking, what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times that impacts me in a way that I'm not paying attention to. It can alter the way that I am thinking about a situation or about a person. And what I want is for us to go to the word first, to have that be our impact statement, what we do believe. And that seems so simple. But when there's so much coming at us, and then just, I've said this before, life be lifing, but God be guiding. And it's true. I mean, no matter what you're facing, it's just one of those things that we do. Sorry about my notes getting in the way. But, you know, here's the thing. We have to have a strong internal fortitude. Mm-hmm. Knowing that God is God. He loves us. He created us for his purpose, for his glory, for his honor. But when we're going through struggles, and we will all go through struggles, we have to be able to call that to mind. And some of us, the challenge is that we don't believe what we're reading when we're in the Word. We think it's a great idea, or we think that the old messages that we got as a child are more powerful than the Word of God that is in us.
Or we believe it, Becky, but we only believe it to a point. It hasn't fully connected to our hearts. And that's the rub. We may have the information, but those emotional experiences are really hard to override.
Yeah.
So we need to do some head and heart connecting.
Yeah,
that's right. And so in this time when there's so many voices in your head, maybe you need to listen to some truth, which is what we deliver here at New Life. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. And I want you to challenge yourself. What am I believing to be true? What am I afraid of? And challenge that with the fact that God's got this. He's brought you to this place and will see you through. I believe it.
Yes, I do too. Jill?
Well, and just know that you're still going to feel some of the feelings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But keep seeking that comfort from the Lord.
Today, I'm going to help listeners learn how to stop feeling frustrated. Now, when you get upset, is your default response to tell the other person that you're feeling frustrated? Now, last week in one of my couples therapy sessions, the husband shared with his wife that he's confused what she needs from him when she's upset. And she looked a little incredulous, but because to her it was obvious. Yet as we explored deeper and looked at a few different situations of her being frustrated at him, we actually found out she wanted different things each time. One time she wanted space, Another time she wanted him to take the lead, and yet another time she wanted him to come after her and initiate a conversation, ask him why she was upset. Can you see his confusion? Now, in therapy, the word frustrated, along with its cousins, annoyed, irritated, agitated, are actually feeling words I encourage people to exclude from their emotional dictionary. Why? Because they're all descriptions of anger. Anger is a secondary emotion, meaning it's covering a vulnerable feeling that we're actually experiencing. All negative emotions have an emotional need in that moment that needs to be met. If we feel anxious, we need reassurance. If we feel rejected, we need acceptance. If we feel unheard, we need to be heard. And expressing those emotions actually tell a different story than simply saying, I'm frustrated. Because when someone's angry or frustrated, what do they need in that moment? Well, they need to calm down. But how do we know how to help them calm down if we don't know what's going on underneath? Now, anger's also a separating emotion, meaning that when someone's angry, we tend to move away from them rather than toward them. So think about this. If your spouse says, I'm frustrated with you, what are you likely to do? Most people lean away. And they become defensive because it sounds like an attack's about to come my way. Right? And it's hard to get your needs met if others are moving away from you. But what if they said, I'm feeling hurt because I don't feel important to you, or I'm scared that we're growing apart, or I'm disappointed because I was really hoping that we'd spend some time together. Now, suddenly you have something you can respond to with empathy instead of defensiveness. Now, one of the reasons many of us default to these words like frustrated is because we grew up without learning the language of emotions. We likely grew up with a parent who showed their frustration, or no one was available or slowed down long enough to help us understand what was really happening inside. So instead of learning what the feeling was or the true emotion, we just learned to express the pressure that we were feeling. Now, secure relationships aren't built on this vague emotional language. They're built when we can recognize what we're truly feeling and have the courage to express the need beneath that feeling. So the next time you're tempted to say, I'm frustrated, pause for a moment and ask yourself, what's the vulnerable emotion underneath? And then ask, what's that emotional need to resolve it? Those two questions can completely change a conversation. Instead of inviting conflict, they can invite connection. Because for emotional connection to happen to us, others need to know what emotion we're wanting them to connect with. And they can't respond to an emotion if we haven't identified it. Because when you can name your true emotion and request your true need, you give the people who love you the opportunity to understand you, to comfort you, and to move toward you.
And research shows that developing emotional intelligence is one of the most important skills, and it leads to a better likelihood of success in almost all areas of life. And so this is gold. This is a pearl of wisdom, and it is so worth pursuing what Mark has been talking about.
Mark is also a thesaurus. He shows us other words to use besides I'm angry, I'm frustrated. So good stuff, Mark Cameron. Grant in Los Angeles. Hi there, Grant. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, thank you.
What's going on? You went to EMB?
Yeah, I was there this past weekend. It was really encouraging. I just want to call and say thank you guys. I've gotten a scholarship to go as well. And so that was part of just really grateful for the opportunity and just be there with like a group of around 30 guys, and then it puts you in smaller groups. And so just to know, like, you know, there's other men that you can relate to, and that, you know, there's a greater plan and purpose, and not just, you know, things that eventually just are going to lead to destruction. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And JJ mentioned it, and I was like, all right, I got to call in. So.
Well, we appreciate your call. What's your story briefly? What led you to Every Man's Battle?
Well, I remember the book being released when I was maybe high school or college. And then I've gone to different groups and been trying to be disciples. And but I had gone through a divorce that was related in part to lack of integrity. And so I think I'm engaged now, and I don't want to repeat the same mistakes. And so a friend from church told my fiance about the your ministry. And so at first I was a little hesitant because I hadn't heard of you all. I'd been going through a different ministry. I'm just wrapping that up. But it was kind of coming to an end, so I wasn't really sure what to do next. So at least with Every Man's Battle, and there's sustained victory groups, like discipleship groups, that was just really helpful. And then just talking with the small group leader, he's a life coach from North Carolina, and just meeting guys from, you know, all over Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Ohio and North Dakota. It's kind of, it's unique in California, understanding how many men are struggling with the same thing, and it doesn't really matter where your geographic location is.
Right.
But also know that we don't have to be lonely. Like, there's, it's a very similar experience despite like where we live and who we are. You know, we need that like fellowship and like iron sharpens iron. So
yeah, that's for sure. JJ.
Yeah. So Grant, hey, thanks for calling in. It was so great to meet you this weekend, and I'm glad to hear that you're wanting to take this seriously and continue on with Sustained Victory. Could you share with the audience maybe one thing, one takeaway that you're like, okay, I don't want to forget this. I want to hold on to this truth that I was challenged with this weekend.
Yeah, it's just how we have to connect with God, with ourselves through like journaling, and then with other people. So I might have bad habits, but I can't, if I think my way into a bad habit, I'm not going to be able to think my way out of it. So it really does need some sort of influence to break the cycle, the bad habit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Oh, man. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks so much for calling. And like I said, I'm really glad that you were there, glad to have gotten to know you a little bit, and looking forward to seeing how God takes where you are now and where he's taking you to, like to see that, right? To see the growth and see the change. It's encouraging.
Yeah. Grant, thank you so much. Yes. For calling. And as the female here on the panel today, your wife will be so, your future wife will be so grateful. It's such a gift that you have given her, that you've acknowledged this, that you see the problem, that you're not just thinking, oh, my new marriage, my new wife will fix this problem. That no, it's something you are taking responsibility for and taking care of so that you can start off differently. Love it.
Yeah. And that's something we talk about here on New Life Live, about every man's battle, because some guys, single guys or whatever, will think, you know, once I get married, all these urges and everything will go away.
It'll change because then, you know, I can have sex with my wife and it won't be a problem.
Yeah. Here is Lyndon, who is listening to us on WAVA in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Welcome, Lyndon, to New Life Live.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor and privilege to be here on New Life Live. And I must say how grateful and thankful I am this afternoon to share part of which God has delivered me from my story. And I accredit all of this to every man's battle. I heard JJ West there. He was in the session 2023, August, and I was the only person from Guyana, man from Guyana, suffering with an addiction, pornography and masturbation. I was dating with the to get married in mind. And when my fiance confronted me with a simple question, are you involved in pornography and masturbation, I was like, I stopped for a moment and I minimized it, tried to minimize it. And said, you know what? It's on and off. It's no big deal. I wanted to just keep it that way. But when she asked me a resounding question, the question, can a person, can a woman be just a little bit pregnant? That hit me like a stun gun. I came to myself.
Sounds like a wise woman, and you married her, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, yes. She said, "Are you a little pregnant?"
Yes.
So you know, it hit me that ran me over like a mud truck right there. You know, the conviction was so strong, and when I look into her eyes, she began to cry. Right, and I said to her, "I said, look, I'm willing to do anything to change this." Why? Because I didn't want to lose her. And there is where she invited me to every man's battle. Right? I was in Guyana. She invited me. She said, I can help you if you're willing to attend every man's battle. I was there, and I learned so much. JJ West can attest to that. We had breakout groups. And, you know, I learned to look at her. When I came out, I was so, so excited. I called her. I said, babe, listen, I now see you with new eyes. Before then, I objectify women. Now, I can see you with the eyes of Christ. I can see you as a human being, as a beautiful woman of God, as my prospective wife, my future wife. And I learned from that, what thought do you use to replace when the enemy comes again with temptation? What thought do you use? Because we have our eyes, God has made us with our beautiful eyes to see. When a young lady crossed path, or when some woman is wearing skimpy clothing or garment, what do? When we see that image, do we hold that image and keep it in our thoughts, or do we replace it with something different?
Lyndon, thank you so much for that testimony. I mean,
it's wonderful. You learned a lot, Lyndon.
We can talk hour long about every man's battle, but when somebody calls in and shares how it changed their life, I mean, that speaks volumes. Lyndon, thank you, and God bless you guys, and we are so glad that you're doing the work to just be that man of God, that man of integrity that you were meant to be, and we just praise God for your story. Thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live.
Wow, those testimonies are so powerful, and that could be part of your story. We've got Every Man's Battle coming up, as well as our webinars. And I could sit here and list all of them, but what I want to invite you to is to go to newlife.com/events and just look and see what we have coming up. The most important thing that I want to encourage you to do is do something. If there's something that you have been putting off to deal with the challenges, know that we've got something for you. Our webinar that we've got coming up in September is From Addiction to Freedom, Biblical and Clinical Help for Lasting Recovery. And we're going to hear from Eric Thomas, who is one of our Every Man's Battle speakers, but also counselor. He's got a great sense of joy about helping people, and I know that it's going to be encouraging. That's September 17th. We also have the Every Man's Battle coming up in September 11th through 13th in California, Orange County, November 6th through 8th in Dallas. And if this is something that you or someone you know is struggling with, share that information. And our intimacy in marriage, we're going to do a different version of this, same great information, but we have consolidated it to 2 days. So the September 25th and 26th dates will be in Dallas, and it's a 2-day event for couples, and it could change everything in your marriage. We also have a webinar coming up in October with Dr. Jim Burns, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. We get so many calls about this topic. And if you've listened to the program, you know Jim's got some great wisdom that he's going to share. And last but certainly not least, we've got our Restore 3-day women's workshop in Washington, D.C., November 13 through 15. One of the biggest challenges that people have in seeking help is seeking help. We think that we can do it on our own, and we put off seeking help. And New Life has been helping people connect to help for almost 40 years. So we want to continue to do that with you. Just call us, reach out, go to the website, find out what we're doing, share it with someone you love. It will change everything. Thanks so much for taking time to listen. If you're not listening to New Life Live on a regular basis, I want to encourage you. Do you know that we have podcasts that you can download and you can listen anytime? Do you know that we're on YouTube and you can see our beautiful faces there and you can re-listen? You know, I'm one of the old school listeners. I remember having to be in my car waiting for the answer to come, but you have the luxury of being able to hear us anytime that you would like. So tune in and share New Life with your friends. I was talking earlier today about people struggling, and we are drowning in the absence of answers. We're looking for things that we may not find right away, but I want to encourage you, keep looking. Call us. We'll help you get connected to the help that you need. Thank you for giving to make it possible for us to give the help that people are looking for. We're praying for you. If you need anything, you know where to find us. Call us, email, whatever way, just connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much. God bless.